Hello and welcome to The Trust Show. I'm Lottie Edwards, and today I'm joined by Luke Finch, partner and head of client services at private equity firm HG, a leading investor in software businesses across Europe and the US. Welcome, Luke. Could you start by introducing yourself and the HG Capital Trust, which we'll focus on?
Sure. Hi, Lottie. Luke Finch, been at HG for about 16 years now, which is, more than half my career. And I had what we call client services, which is really sort of fundraising at HG. So looking after all of our investors, institutional and otherwise. And HG Trust is our largest single investor. So they take up, decent chunk of my time sort of, looking after the board there, but also then speaking to the underlying investors in the trust. And the way the structure works is the trust is a FTSE 250 listed investment company. And it invests in all of HG's buyout funds. So we raise funds every sort of 3 to 4 years from institutions all over the world. And HG Trust is the largest single LP in each of the funds we raise.
And in terms of the businesses that HG invests in, could you remind me of the areas that the services cover?
Yeah, so we like the unglamorous side of software. So these are businesses that most people in the street have never heard of. They run core systems of record for, typically small businesses, but sometimes enterprises. So think of your payroll software, your ERP software, your bookkeeping software, compliance or regulatory software, or if you're a hospital operator, it might be your rostering software or other sort of parts of your kind of ERP stack. So it's the sort of stuff that no one's really heard of unless you use that every day of your kind of working life to kind of manage workloads. On the services side, it's what we would call tech-enabled services. So it might be helping small businesses sort of get online, manage reservations, manage bookings. It might be something like insurance broking. Again, it's sort of a regulatory purchase that every company needs to do, but the more you can put technology into that offering, the better it is for kind of customers. And then we also do look at what we would call kind of B2B data businesses. So these are companies that sell very niche kind of industry or vertical specific data across their customer base. And often our businesses are actually a bit of a mix of all three. They are software that throws off some sort of data and analytics and that has a services element to implement things.
Okay, so I'll come on to recent volatility in software markets. But before that, 2025 was a good year for the trust, particularly in terms of realizations. You left one position at a 90%, 97% uplift. Is that right? Could you take me through some of those again?
Yeah, so just to frame it. So HG Trust is about £2.3 billion market cap, about £2.6 billion of NAV. Last year, we realized about £250 million in 2025. And we've had some more realization activity actually in Q1 this year. We had two sort of big exits at the back end of last year. So in December, they were signed. One was a $1 billion EV business. One was a $2 billion EV business. Both sold to trade players. So one of the buyers was GE Healthcare, for example. And both had big uplifts to our holding value. So one was sort of 60 to 70% uplift, one was nearly 100%. And we can come on to that, but a lot of that is actually around buyers wanting to get their hands on data that they can then build sort of AI tooling on top of. And that's exactly what we were selling. And those trade buyers found that kind of very exciting.
So then in February, Anthropic released this legal plugin that shook software markets. Shares in the trust fell about 25% in a week and is still trading at around 30% discount. So clearly some investors are worried that the release challenges established software names and that it's a step towards AI being able to take over some of the tasks that they carry out. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so I think it's hard to pin it on sort of one specific release or event from Anthropic. You know, I think another trigger that we've heard was that actually, while Microsoft, you know, only grew its cloud division by kind of 37%, not 39%, and, you know, what's that all about? You know, and therefore, you know, it was sold off 12% that day. I think, you know, a lot of the explanations out there are post hoc rationalization of something where, you know, what I think was happening was, yeah, software sort of came into Q4 last year at sort of some all-time highs, actually, in terms of valuation, if you look at some of the names. And then, you know, during the sort of back end of 2025 and into Q1 with Anthropic releasing other things, I think the public started to see a big step up in sort of model quality, model proficiency, and then Anthropic in particular sort of leading the way as to how businesses can start to use these on a more systematic basis. And that triggered, yeah, quite a huge reaction. And where we are today, I think, is that, you know, public software is sort of being valued at this, yeah, with no terminal value in their growth rate. So the difference between the general market valuation and software has narrowed to nothing. And that's the most extreme narrowing we've seen in 25 years, including through the GFC. So it was a very extreme reaction from the public markets. And obviously the trust, I think, got caught up in that. It wasn't specific to HDT. It was, you know, HDT has a lot of software in it. You know, software is, you know, is being re-rated. You know, the trust got swept down in that. It's really at odds with what we are seeing on the ground in our businesses and frankly what other, you know, listed software players are saying they're seeing with their customers, which is a real willingness and desire, frankly, from kind of SMEs and enterprises to adopt AI solutions from their incumbent providers. You know, if you can make your customers' lives easier by building on the promise of AI within systems that they are already using and data that you're already managing for them, that's a win-win. And that's what we're seeing, and we can dive more deeply into that. I think it will take a bit of time for that reality to sort of seep into the public markets, because at the moment it's really only anecdote and product releases and the promise that the public markets can really talk about. You know, they're not really allowed to give sort of detailed forward guidance on exactly what kind of products are going to do, and it's too early for them to do that. You know, they're probably seeing the same thing we're seeing, which is really promising adoption signs, but, you know, small movements versus the overall book of revenue. Yeah, so even kind of strong growth in a new AI product isn't going to move the needle on a big lump of revenue in a pre-existing business. It'll take time for that to compound up, and, you know, I think that public market investors do not like a sort of mix effect going on, yeah, underlying, yeah, in sort of underlying earnings. They can't really price that. So the uncertainty levels are high right now, and that's what's being reflected. I think, yeah, what we see though is that there's a lot of promise in what AI can do for your customers. You need to innovate to capture that. But it's a hugely exciting time for our businesses right now.
And maybe could you go a bit more into this data advantage that the companies you hold have?
Yeah. So if we think about what our companies do in terms of, let's use payroll as an example. You know, for many, many years, what all software was it sort of deterministic processes. You know, you took a database, or yeah, some would say you took an old filing cabinet and you kind of put that filing cabinet into the software. You know, you automated a filing cabinet. So you put database into the software, and then you flow that data through a rules engine, and out come some answers about your payroll run. And those answers kind of are right or they're not. And they're typically not right because the data going in isn't right. But the maths, you know, through the deterministic engine is the maths. And that's what sort of all software did. What large language models can do is something kind of new and different. They are probabilistic. So they say, you ask them a question, And their neural network says, well, based on everything I've ever read, which is sort of everything ever published these days, the answer is probably this. And they're getting very, very good at that. It's kind of probably right. Yeah, write me a history of CityWire in 1,000 words. They can press go. They can write you that. And then you press go again and they'll write you another version, another version, another version. And then all be right. You know, there's not one right answer. And so that is a whole new tooling that we can start to use. And if you think about then our core systems of record, you know, those databases, so much of people's kind of daily workflow is putting stuff into a database or taking stuff out and creating reports and analyzing it. And what you're able to start doing now with these kind of agentic builds on that LLM compute is kind of engineer workflows where the system of record moves to, from sort of storing data to kind of actioning data and doing some of the workflows that people would do with emails and phone calls and cross checks with a spreadsheet and all the other things. And so one of the things we've really been doing across our portfolio is almost doing sort of time and motion studies of our customers. You know, who uses the database? Who puts stuff in? Who takes stuff out? How do they do that? What are the problems around all those workflows? And then can we go and solve those problems and make life easier? So if we get that right, and not just us, but other vertical SaaS providers, there's a huge market expansion opportunity here. You can do more for your customers than you ever could because you've got a whole new tool that can complement the existing, core system of record.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of how HG is using AI already, but you're using something, the HG Catalyst, is that right?
So we've built it. Let me explain. HG, we're a pretty big firm. So we are, over 400 people in the firm. We manage over $100 billion. So the trust is our biggest investor, but it's still a relatively small part of the overall picture. So we could bring resources to bear of a $100 billion AUM investment manager. What that means is we've been able, over the last two decades to really specialize and build kind of very distinct teams of experts in-house. So we've had a data and AI team for a decade. It used to be called the sort of data and machine learning team. But they were all, PhDs in computer science and machine learning. That team is now one of the largest single teams in the firm. We've been investing in that for over a decade. To complement that group, we've also built over the last couple of years a team called HG Catalyst, and that is a team of software engineering talent who are kind of live and conversant in kind of AI product build. They can get dropped into our portfolio companies to help kickstart kind of agentic builds of new product, to help the existing software development teams sort of understand this new technology and how to build and how to use the agents to help them build. Things like Claude Code, Codex, Replit, Devin, these kind of tools that have sprung up over the last 2-3 years. And that's a really big investment on our part. So that is, engineers. I mean, Palantir would call them forward deployed engineers, or, there's a sort of workflow coordinators. There's sort of terminologies around this sort of springing up around the ecosystem now. But it's really looking at what do our companies do today? What are the workflows around that, and how do we build software to go and solve those for our customers?
And beyond the companies that HG invests in, is there an area of software, certain names you could point to and say will be more affected by AI disruption?
So I think what it's shining a light on, is I think the difference between a sort of thin product or a product that's more of a feature than a product versus those really core systems that run, a sort of system, a system of truth, a system of kind of canonical data, you might call it, that has a huge degree of kind of trust and importance within that organization. People are making decisions off that. It can't be wrong. It also can't get corrupted by use. And I think, those software companies where customers using their software in daily use, create more relevant data. So think about your ERP, kind of ERP rules and stock management and things like that, purchasing software. You know, the more you use it, the more customer and domain specific data gets created. That's more and more valuable. And then the software that has more and more workflows running into and out of it becomes more valuable. And I think often they are one and the same types, not always, but where there's maybe more risk and uncertainty today in software is really around the end market you're serving. You know, I think things like the pharmaceutical end market or the legal end market, these are kind of huge global areas of spend that both the VCs in Silicon Valley and also the frontier labs, you know, Anthropic and OpenAI, are looking at and going, well, actually, our models can really make a difference in the end market. So not in the systems of record, but in sort of what that end market actually does. You know, how do we create new molecules in pharmaceutical? How to create words in law? So those are areas that are going to change a bit more.
Can we talk about Visma in particular? That's the trust top holding and has been a great growth story for HGE. But I know it's had to delay its IPO plans. Wondering if you have any concerns about business.
So we never launched any IPO. You know, we had always said that 2026 would be the earliest we would consider. That said, hey, having sort of patiently, I mean, we at HGE and HGE Trust have been invested in Visma for 20 years now. We've, you know, seen it grow from, you know, single digit hundreds of millions of enterprise value to sort of, you know, tens of billions. It's been a huge success story in European software. So having sort of built it patiently for 20 years to sort of, you know, IPO at a moment of maximum investor uncertainty would not be sensible. And we don't have to do that, right? So the underlying business is performing very well across its different product lines and geographies. You know, it's got some very interesting kind of AI projects running and customer adoption use cases coming up. But again, you know, going back to what we said earlier, I don't think the public market investors yet know what good looks like in sort of AI. You know, everyone's sort of figuring that out. There's not a lot of benchmark data, and we might think our businesses are at the front edge of that, but we can't prove that yet because we don't know what the rest of the pack is doing. So I think it feels like a sort of, you know, a pretty bizarre time to go and sort of, you know, launch an IPO for a business like that when you don't have to. And the underlying growth is coming through very nicely. It publishes sort of quarterly numbers publicly. So you can go and check those. Your listeners can go check those. But we're very happy holders for the time being.
Okay. And then even if public markets are eventually proved wrong in this broad-based derating of software stocks, what would you say to investors worrying about negative sentiment weighing on HGE's near-term exit and fundraising activity?
So I guess, you know, what I'm not saying is all software is going to be absolutely great. You know, I think, yeah, we're in the middle of a big sort of tech platform shift, you know, like the shift to mobile and internet, you know, over the last 20 years, and the shift from mainframe to kind of PC before that. And you have winners and losers in those shifts. And if you don't innovate and get with that and invest in that, you might get left behind. And I think, you know, products that were winning in the past might not win in the future, and you have to innovate. But I think if you can do that, you know, that you've got, and as I said earlier, you've got a big, you know, growth opportunity in your market. You know, software can now do more for people than it ever could. And our job at HGE is to sit in the middle of, you know, a portfolio of 60 companies and a wider ecosystem beyond that, and really kind of learn from the best in our portfolio and elsewhere, and make sure that that learning curve gets kind of very swiftly pushed around the rest of the portfolio, and we get that sort of learning curve flywheel going on within our portfolio. you're going to start seeing the fruits of that come through. I mean, we had two good exits that we spoke about earlier in Q4 last year. You know, and I think a large part of those uplifts was driven by the buyers diligencing our businesses and seeing, you know, an AI roadmap and frankly products in market that were kind of better than they thought when they started the discussion. So, you know, the price for those businesses went up as we spoke to the buyers during that process. And, you know, we'll be able to start kind of showing more and more proof points across the portfolio there. So I would say to kind of HGT investors, you know, be a bit patient. You know, we are constrained by law, what we can say on a forward-looking basis. You know, I think now is the time for where specialism is going to count more than ever. And, you know, I think AI is going to impact sort of all industries and all workflows over the next, pick a period, 5 to 10 years. It just so happens that I think software and software engineering has been sort of at the tip of that spear. But actually being right in that ecosystem and seeing that up close, we are learning very quickly what's working and what's not. And we are starting to see the contours emerge of how kind of vertical SaaS can integrate kind of AI agents into the product offering and what customers are, you know, wanting to get out of it. So I think, from an exit perspective, kind of hold tight as a HGT investor, and more broadly, you know, across the software space, kind of, you know, the sell-off has happened, and you know, now's the time to sort of watch and see what happens from here. I mean, from a HGT perspective, coming in at a 30% discount to NAV is probably not a bad starting point. And then you mentioned fundraising as part of the equation. We at HG have actually raised our new generation of funds over the course of last year, so we are sort of very excited to be kind of looking to invest those over the next 3 or 4 years into this environment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then lastly, could you just touch on any new investments recently? I know there was OneStream.
Yep. So OneStream was a take private that we just completed. So we announced that in sort of late January, just completed all the funds flow of that. It's a, you know, we think a really winning product financial consolidation software. Its stock price had fallen a lot. We don't do that many take privates. The last one we did was in sort of Q1 2022, business called IdeaGen. So there aren't that many sort of public companies of the right size and the right product quality that we are kind of really excited about. But OneStream was one of them, working with the founder who's still in that business. A real technologist, you know, product-led founder. Those are the kind of people we really like to partner with to help take that, you know, away from the glare of the public markets and kind of improve it and invest in its AI kind of product offering. It's already kind of got a very good start on that before we came along, but we think we can do a lot more with that business. And it's exactly what we spoke about earlier, you know, core system of record, really trusted to get those kind of calculations, you know, right for its customers on something really important, you know, the production of annual reports and numbers, something that can't fail. But it's got a really well invested sort of technology architecture that means we can overlay some of these, you know, agentic solutions that we were talking about. So kind of, yeah, exactly where we want to be playing right now.
Well, I look forward to seeing whether business goes. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.